I spoke with Dan Akerson, the chairman and CEO of General Motors at the automaker's headquarters in Detroit. And we actually asked you, our listeners, what you might want to know from GM's CEO. And then Akerson responded to questions from you, including this one about GM's plans for expansion in China.
We bring brands, arguably value-oriented brands such as a Chevrolet, mid-range, and now Cadillac. And we also bring technology, manufacturing expertise. As the way the Chinese market is structured, you cannot manufacture or sell cars in China unless you have a Chinese partner.
Yeah.
And so no matter what we think or what desires we may have had going in, you're going to have a partner. And Shanghai Auto is our partner. They happen to be the most successful and largest domestic manufacturer in China as well. So we picked a good partner.
Do you see Apple as a bit of a cautionary tale? Are you worried about labor practices and whether or not you have enough oversight of what's going on with your manufacturing plants in China?
We have our management integrated at every level of management in our joint venture. And I personally have visited many cities you've never heard of and locations that I'm sure many of your listeners haven't heard of. And we conform with GM standards for safety and health. We pay competitive prices that are not driven by a unique situation. Apple is a unique company, I would say, in the world. I don't think Mercedes or Volkswagen or Toyota or Hyundai, they're all in China too. So we're paying rates that are competitive with global competitors, whereas I would argue Apple has few global competitors as we do.
All right. Here's a question for you from Mark. He says, when will you stop making low-mileage SUVs?
Well, we are trying to improve on that today. Most of our SUVs will be hybrids going forward in one form or another. That being said, there is a market that wants the big SUV. They want the big engine, and they want power. So we're going to meet the market where it wants to be met, not what I might view as a right-sized SUV, but what our customers view.
How do you predict future trends in the auto industry? How do you go about knowing what people are going to want 2 or 3, 4 years from now, since it takes so long to develop a product?
It's a good question because, in a sense, you have to guess where the market's going to be. And as I think Wayne Gretzky said, you can't skate to where the puck is. You have to skate to where you think it's going to be. And so when we come out with more dramatic designs in particular, or new engine types, or new forms of propulsion, we are taking risk. And the Volt would be a good example. We think the cars, many of the cars, will be propelled by a variety of advanced propulsion technologies, but the near-term one is electric. So we made a big bet. It's a $1 billion bet. And you don't develop these cars very cheaply, and it does take 3 to 5 years minimum to develop one. And so you have to kind of guess. And sometimes by the sheer weight of your influence and your foresight, you can drag the industry with you or maybe even the market. I think that was truer when we had 50% market share, not when we have in this country on the order 17, 18.
So your earnings figures come out today. Oh, you don't have to go into the exact numbers, but let's kind of try and break down what's going on. Because as I understand, the predictions are is that Opel and European operations are kind of dragging down GM's profits. How do you insulate the American operations, domestic operations, maybe the operations in China, from what's happening in Europe?
Well, as you know, we're a global company. There was a time, not too many years ago, that North America was a drag on our earnings.
Yeah.
We restructured our North American earnings, and they have been and will for the foreseeable future, I think, be quite strong, quite consistent. Last year at this time, we were making money in Europe. If you reflect back to last summer in September, there was a lot of consternation in this country about was the debt limit going to be raised or was the U.S. going to essentially have a technical default?
Right.
Well, concurrent with that was a sovereign debt issue in Europe. Were they going to go bankrupt? And so if you reflect back to the 08, 09 timeframe in this country when you just had this day after day drumbeat about how bad things were and we were going off the rails and depression was on the horizon, I think we as a country have successfully avoided that. It hasn't been a robust recovery, but there's been a mild recovery. In Europe, it's quite the opposite. now for almost a year, every day. If it isn't Greece, it's Italy. Now it's Spain. These are countries that are looking at economic times that were not dissimilar to the 30s. And so, yes, everything has really ramped down in Europe. So we're going to have to restructure yet again, second time in a 2 to 3 year period. And that's difficult for a company that is building massive amounts of production capability, billions of dollars, to have this kind of up and down economic activity. But that's what we find in Europe. So when I look across the globe, some places you're doing better than others. Some places you actually lose money. But as I was recently quoted as saying, this is a four-alarm fire for us, and we're doing everything we can to get it back to profitability, and that's going to take a couple of years, I guess.
Are you maybe regretting not selling the Opel line?
You know, I don't have the luxury of having to being able to look out the rearview mirror. I can only look out the front window, what's in front of me, what I can do with what challenges that lie before the company. So, you know, there are, in my personal and in my professional life, I've made mistakes. I don't dwell on them. You move on. And Opel, I don't know. So we have a bad year or two. 5 years from now, maybe it's making a lot of money and North America's in trouble. I don't know. It's the hand I was dealt. It's the hand I'm going to play.
As Dan Akerson, the chairman and CEO of General Motors, and General Motors has released their first quarter earnings. They earned $1 billion in the first quarter. But as you just heard, the losses in Europe are a big drag on profit margins there. It looks as though GM lost $256 million pre-tax in Europe. And there's also nearly $600 million in charges related to pension costs as well. Revenue did rise 4%, but as you could hear, European operations and Opel, a big drag on GM's profits. If you have any comment on that interview or anything else you want to talk about, you can always call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I am here in Detroit. That's where I spoke with the CEO of General Motors. Going to be heading down this afternoon for a real Detroit Coney dog. Give our British producer from the BBC a taste of America.
You going to Lafayette,
right.
Coney Island?
Well, I'm going to actually let him taste both American and Lafayette and make up his own mind.
Great.
So we'll bring the results to you tomorrow on
jealous.
The taste test. Yeah, absolutely. With chili, of course, onions, cheese, mustard, exactly the way Coney dog should be.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.